Good morning. Well, if you are a visitor today, what a day. What a rich pageantry you're about to participate in. This is our annual Hanging of the Green service. We've got so many disciples who've graciously taken roles, and so we're sure looking forward to this festive and celebrative service. And speaking of celebrative, Roger, I saw him bringing the baby in. I saw Danny and I saw Kristen bringing the, what is it, 1 week, isn't it? Just a week old? Raise the chair. Raise the chair. Yeah. Something about this season and babies, Kristen. Oh my goodness, divine timing. What a wonderful opportunity to be together. Before we begin our worship experience, are there any parish notices to come before us? Any parish notices to bring before us? All right, well then let us prepare our hearts for morning worship.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God, your promise of hope comes to us wrapped in anticipation and expectation. Though the sun may be darkened, though the moon may cease to give forth its light, though the stars may fall from heaven, we will continue to thank you that a new day is dawning, a day when we will see the Son of Man coming with power and glory. In your name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Awake, people of God, stay alert for Christ's coming. Grace to you and peace from God who sent Jesus to us.
May your ways known to us, O God. Show us once more your awesome presence.
We are all God's people. No one is excluded. Come together as God's family for worship and prayer. Praise the one who grants us the gift of life. Give thanks for God's continuing faithfulness.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God is true for all times and places.
And now lift up your hearts, your voices unto the Lord. The opening hymn of praise for this first Sunday of Advent, 213, Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates.
Now take this opportunity to welcome one another through the passing of the peace.
Thank you.
to me that I've grown since last Sunday. Oh, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, you know what I give thanks for? Continuing thanks? Robes. Well, I have another heartfelt thanks to extend today. And I always prepare those Advent readings for the wreath well in advance, and I had them done. And if we handed out all these wonderful, wonderful parts for the hanging of the green service, and we're sitting at the Thanksgiving dinner table, at the table, it hits me, I failed to hand out and delegate the Advent wreath reading, so I begged my family, and looky here, who's here. I got my favorite daughter-in-law, got April, and I got my son, Matt, my firstborn, and that a good-looking woman there, I think that's right, that's their mama who puts up with me. So Laura and Matthew and April, we're going to have you come forward this time for the first Sunday of Advent, lighting of the Advent wreath. April's going to do the lighting because she's on. Oh, okay.
But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven. Powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Either the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father.
There it is. There you go. Thanks, Randy.
Would it bother you to start it over again?
See what he says to Dad when we get home for dinner.
But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Keep alert, for you do not know when this time will come, in the evening or at midnight or at dawn. Keep awake.
Such amazing things happen in the sky to herald the return of the Son of Man. Jesus coming in the clouds, the sun grows dark, the moon doesn't shine, and stars fall from the heavens. So different from the first coming more than 2,000 years ago, with angels singing of God's glory and peace on earth, with the single star guiding the way to the manger, with shepherds and wise men, rich and poor, coming to worship. And so we watch and wait and stay alert, waiting again for the coming of Jesus, and we light a single candle in preparation for the for that glorious day. And even if the sun should grow dark, even if the moon refuses to shine, even if the stars should fall from the sky, we will have Jesus, the light of the world, to shine brightly in our hearts, lighting our way. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, lay family. In 21 years, I've never done this. But because I'm a facilitator and enabler for you, but thank you, family, for helping me out. Thank you. At this time, we invite the children to come forward for the children's moments. I want to tell you, this is a wonderful, wonderful sight. I am so glad to see you all here for this, the first Sunday of Advent, and I'm going to send this out to Steve and to Tana and to Sagan. Want to thank Chinatown Express, my heroes. I love them. Brian Stewart took me there first time. But this is one of the official fortune cookies. The children, how many of you have had a fortune cookie? Well, then you know the drill. You know how this works. So let me just do this. And you know what you do. You go like that, right? And then what do you find in here? Anybody? Let me take the mic to you. What do you find in a fortune cookie?
A fortune.
You find a fortune. Yes, it tells you what your future is going to be. And I'm just going to set that right there. Now, I'm not actually going to read that one. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes you're going to read that you're going to get wealthy. You know, or you'll have riches, or you're going to become famous, or something, you know, something along that line. But of course, it's just make-believe. It doesn't really tell you your future. Now, in stark contrast to that, the Bible does tell us our future. As a matter of fact, all the readings here on the first Sunday of Advent are all lifting up the future. The future is in Christ. Christ fought the decisive battle at Calvary. Christ, who entered into the world, and Advent means to enter. But Christ fought the decisive battle against sin and against death on the cross of Calvary. And he died there. He shed his precious blood, but he won. Jesus Christ has conquered death and conquered sin and all the powers of darkness. So you know what our future is? In Christ, our future is victory. Victory, victory. Can we say that together? 1, 2, 3. Victory. Don't you ever forget it. Because there's so much in the journey of life, so many trials and challenges and tests that will try to make you forget your destiny, your future in Christ. Victory. Never, therefore, be afraid. Let's join hands and thank God for the victory in Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God Creator. We thank you for finding a way to enter into the world, to enter into the world through Jesus, to conquer sin and death, and to pass that victory on to us. And one day, Lord, one day, you will return in Christ. You will return to call the close to history, and that future is victorious. So, Lord, now and then, we live in Jesus. We live in your victory. We thank you for the precious price that Jesus was willing to pay for our redemption. We give thanks in his glorious name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, children, we have treats to give you. And I see Emily. Boy, I got Emily right here. She's going to help me. Well, you know what? I shrunk or something. I can't get up to my feet. This is my dad's robe. This is my father's robe. And I'm going to have Brother Dave's going to help us. We're going to hand you out. You get two apiece. Here you go, Allison. You know the drill. You get two apiece. Now, some of you may be visiting today, so I do need to let you know. You take two. You keep one of your choice. And then pick out another good one that you're going to give away. And you're going to get that as an opportunity to remind them of the victory in Jesus. And to always follow the Lord. Brother Dave, we're doing good, aren't we? Isn't this fun?
Yes.
I love this. I love this. Warren Reed, you know how much I love this.
This makes my day.
Yep, it does mine too. I'm going to miss a lot of things. I know I will. But I got to tell you, I'm really going to miss this. These are the moments of treasure. Look at your church, folks. Look at your church. Isn't that a handsome church? And Brother Dave, I thank you. And you children may return to your pews. Emily, is going to carry the microphone. Again, what a day for visitors. We always prepare for visitors. We live in preparation. We watch for you. We have visitors cards in the pews. Take a moment, fill out that visitors card. If you choose to, if you elect to put your telephone number on there, just drop that card in the offering plate when the regular offering is taken up. The ushers always get me those cards, and we never fail to get that call back to you to get you better acquainted. Now, this portion of the service, Emily has a microphone. Why a microphone? We want you to raise your hand if you have joys or concerns that you'd like to bring before us. A joy could be a birthday announcement, a wedding anniversary. It could be, for instance, it could be, say the birth of a child. Just saying, it could be, these are the joys. It could be a concern. Maybe someone that you love, that you know of, is sick, and you want to lift them up in prayer. Joys or concerns, keep your hands up so Emily can see you. Keep your hands up, please, so she can see you. I see a hand way, way back there. See, Emily? Come on, honey, I'll help you. I'll help you. I'm so much taller than her. So let's come back here. Who we got back here? Is it Megan? Is it you, Megan? My eyes are getting bad, Bob.
I just want to say my mom is a really great woman, and she will do anything to humor her children. So to humor her, we're going to say that she is only 30 years old today.
I will say an amen and say that she could pass for the 30 years old. Yes, she could, daughter. And I said, yes, she could.
This past Monday, Ashley turned 16.
Ashley, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Thank you, Mama. Don't want to see anybody here.
A real good friend of mine went in for open heart surgery Friday before Thanksgiving. Heart surgery went well, then he got pneumonia. So he's really struggling right now. So,
Roger, no better place to lift him up than right here, brother. Good for you, and we pray for you. We pray for your buddy.
My sister had surgery last Monday, and everything went just fine.
Praise the Lord.
So she goes back Tuesday to have the tube taken out, but otherwise everything's going just fine.
Praise,
she's doing great.
Praise the Lord. A cheer for that. A cheer for that. Praise the Lord. Dave, did I see you over here? Were there other hands over here too? Any other hands over here?
Yes, this is back out here at the nursing home, and I apologize for last week because I wasn't sure, when I got the notice, but I called Nikki and gave her the wrong room because they had moved her, so... She is in the second room on the left, 106, as you go in the main entrance out there here at the nursing home. And I brought up, a couple weeks ago about a friend of mine's wife passing away. Well, Thanksgiving evening, he passed away.
Oh,
dang. And for Kevin and Larry, keep our... the kids in their prayers, because they are really hurting right now.
Oh, goodness,
so,
yes,
especially around the holidays.
Around the holidays.
And
yes,
I got a little testimony at a couple of my patients that I've taken. They text me and wish me happy Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Day, and also and thanked. Me and the church for all the prayers and everything that I've put them in for. And at least we got God working in our lives.
Amen, 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 Brother Dave. Thank you for the testimony. I'm going to field this one. Do I see Kristen up there? Tyler. Amen, amen. Well, I'm getting old. I'm getting forgetful. I had the three, all three, and bless them, I called one of them Charlie, the dog. And I get so bad with my names. But thank you, Kristen, because I was, Danny, I certainly wanted to know what Peanut's name was, right? Peanut's name is Tyler. Kristen, thank you. Thank you. And again, let's raise a cheer to the Lord. Thanks, a praise, thanks, and thanksgiving to God for this birth of Tyler. Any other joys or concerns?
I have a praise.
Yes, Phil.
On Thanksgiving Day, Marie and I celebrated our 18th anniversary.
Yes, sir, brother.
And I have an unspoken concern.
Very well. Very well. You know, always remember, you're free to lift up the unspoken concern. The Lord, what do we pray in Christendom? One of the form prayers that we use in Christendom is that you know our ignorance even in asking. The Lord knows our needs. The Lord knows our needs, and we'll meet those needs. Thank you, Brother Phil. Any other joys or concerns?
Yeah, Greg.
Yes, Glenn.
I've got a joy here that I guess I kind of even forgot this year. If you remember how windy it was early before Thanksgiving and stuff, and I had a door that blowed off out on one of the sheds and things, and we was trying to take care of things. You know, that happened to be on the 24th, I believe, and stuff like that. And I forgot about that day till somebody come over and said, happy anniversary. I said, what? Yeah, it's Gene and I's 63rd anniversary.
Oh, my goodness.
And,
oh, my goodness, Glenn, 63. Awesome, brother, awesome.
And she had a little episode up there this, let's see, it was Friday, I believe it was, that the nurse called me and said that she'd tried to get out of bed by herself, and that's a no-no, but you know, you can't tell her anything. I mean, she just don't realize that. And so she fell and stuff, but she didn't get hurt or anything. She got a couple bruises and stuff, so they said she was all right. So we just need to keep her in her prayers. She just don't understand a lot of these things.
Indeed, brother. Indeed. We lift up Jean in our prayers. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Glenn. And we have some more sharings right here. We have right up here. Well, I'll tell you, Emily, you are doing such a fine job.
Yes, sir. We actually have two. First of all, Tuesday is Bob Wurtenberger's birthday. So if you happen to get some time.
Brother Bob.
John reminded me of that this morning. And next Sunday, we're going to have a men's breakfast. We're going to have an oatmeal buffet. So if you like to eat healthy, why, come on in and we'll serve something up.
Raise the cheer. That's the cook. Let's butter him up good. Yeah, thank you, Bob. Yes, Lynn.
I would like to ask for prayers for a classmate of mine. Lisa McDowell had a stroke. And she's home, and she's doing much better than I think they originally thought. So. But she's going to have rehab, but I think she's awful young to have that, so I don't know.
There you go.
She'd covet your prayers.
Yes. Thank you, Lynn, and we will lift her up in prayer again. No better place to lift up a concern. No better place. Prayer warriors. That's what Bob Wurtenberger always calls us, prayer warriors. Any other? And I see a hand back here. You ready, Emily? Let me help you, honey. Let's come on back here. Deb back here. Very good. Very good.
I have a friend that lives in Maine, and her son was on his way home Wednesday. He was 2 miles away from home, had a serious car accident. They think he fell asleep at the wheel. He is on life support. Family, everyone needs prayers. They're miles away, but prayers go everywhere.
Oh, they do. They do indeed, Deb. They do indeed. Your mama, a nurse. Well, I'll tell you, what a great Christian. Of course, Mom and Dad both did. Mom and Dad both. But Mother being a medical nurse and believing in the power of prayer, she has given you that witness, daughter. Any other joys or concerns? Any other joys or concerns? Am I going to call you Sarah? Ashley says, Greg, he's always called me. Emily, thank you so much. Let us thank the Lord for his servant, for his disciple. You did a fine job. Thank you, young lady. Let us turn to the Lord now in silent prayer.
God calls us to be watchful, awakened to new possibilities and vibrant growth. Know that God forgives our sins and restores us to kingdom living. We are created in God's holy image with growth in the Spirit. We know that God is so very near. And now, God, with us, deepen our faith as we lift up from our hearts the prayer that Jesus, the Savior, has invited us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As I said, if this is a Sunday in which you're visiting, wow, a celebrative Sunday. At this time, we begin that portion of the service known as the Hanging of the Greens.
How shall we prepare this house for the coming of the King?
With branches of cedar, the tree of royalty.
How shall we prepare this house for the coming of the eternal God, Christ?
With garlands of pine and fir, whose leaves are ever living, ever green.
How shall we prepare this house for the coming of our Savior?
With wreaths of holly and ivy, telling of his passion, death, and resurrection.
How shall we prepare our hearts for the coming of the Son of God?
By hearing again the words of the prophets who foretold the saving work of God.
For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Glory to God in the highest.
God will send a righteous king. In ancient times, the cedar was revealed as the tree of royalty. It also signified immortality and was used for purification. During Advent, we decorate with cedar branches as a sign of Christ, who reigns as king forever, and though whose coming in justice and righteousness will purify our hearts.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Because the needles of the pine and fir trees appear not to die each season, the ancients saw them as signs of the things that last forever. Isaiah tells us that there will be no end to the reign of the Messiah. Therefore, during Advent, we hang wreaths of evergreens shaped in a circle, which itself has no end, to signify the eternal reign of Jesus the Christ.
Thank you.
The scripture lesson that I have is from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 6. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For Christians, this passage from Isaiah reflects the sufferings of Jesus, who saved us from our sins by his death on the cross and by his resurrection from the dead. In ancient times, holly and ivy were considered signs of Christ's passion. Their prickly leaves suggested the crowns of thorns, the red berries, the blood of the Savior, and the bitter bark, the drink offered to Jesus on the cross. During Advent, we hang holly and ivy in order to rejoice in the coming of Jesus, our Savior.
Thank you, Shelley. And we will stand for this this closing hymn, the next hymn, rather, verses 1 through 4, and remain standing for the reading of the gospel, which is to come. Let us stand. Hail to the Lord's anointed.
Thank you, Anne.
You may be seated. And now, the reading from Mark, the 13th chapter, verses 33 through 37. Beware, keep alert, says Jesus, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. May God add the blessing of his Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word. Advent, of course, translated from the Latin, means entering, to enter, to come into. We celebrate this season. The promise that God, the creator of all that is, through the mystery of the incarnation, through the birth of the baby Jesus, would mysteriously come to be with us, to dwell with us, to know our journey, and to show the profound love of God and the fullest measure of the unfathomable love of God the creator was expressed on the cross of Calvary, where Jesus shed his precious blood, for he died there for the sins of all. And he conquered sin. He conquered death. He rose again, and he has promised, and that's what this passage is about. This is an Advent passage. Because Advent is not just the promise of one who was to come, but to complete it, Advent is always to remember the promise that the one who lived for us, who died for us, who rose again, the Christ, will come again to close all of history in victory. In victory. In victory. You know, Rabbi Friedland used to witness to the Bible. Of course, the Bible for the Jewish people is the Old Testament. They don't call it Old Testament. They call it the Bible. We refer to it as the Old Testament. But my old teacher used to lament that one of the books that was canonized for the Bible, for the Old Testament, was Ecclesiastes. Now, you baby boomers out there, you remember the birds? Remember to everything, there is a season. Turn, turn, turn. You remember that? You remember that? I loved it. I loved it. Rabbi Friedland was so sad that they canonized Ecclesiastes of all things. Not that it didn't represent beautiful poetry, not that it didn't have its place for wisdom, it's just that it did not in any way faithfully represent the Hebrew, the Jewish understanding of salvation history. Salvation history is not this turn, 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 as Rabbi Friedland pointed out. Ecclesiastes is a Babylonian concept of time. It is not the Judeo-Christian concept of time. We have what's known as a linear concept of time. Put simply, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He made us in his image. And there will be an ending. And the ending will come with the return of the Christ. And that ending will be glory beyond our wildest dreams. That ending will be the glorified Christ. The pre-existent glory of the Christ he brings to us now. The glory that he had with the Father before the foundation of the earth was even laid. Before there was time and space. The Christ will return. Make no mistake. And that was the hope of the early church. And it is the hope of the present church. Because do I have to tell you that we're having our struggles? Did you see the reports of Ferguson this week? Did you see the marches in Atlanta, in New York City, all across the nation? Do I have to tell you that we still have dark times? I don't, do I? I don't, do I? No, no. It's no mistake, by the way, that Advent and Christmas is celebrated during the darkest time of the calendar year. It's deliberate, in fact. was chosen by the early church to do so because, as Anne pointed out, symbolically it proclaims that in the darkest hour, the light of the world in Jesus still shines. Nothing will overcome that light. And that's our hope. Don't be cowed down by the world. Don't be brought down and enslaved by the cares of the world. Ours is a destiny of victory. Never forget it. If you've ever been to a circus, no doubt you've seen one of those huge bull elephants chained to a peg in the ground. Perhaps you thought to yourself, well, that huge elephant could easily pull that little peg out of the ground, and indeed it could. However, it doesn't even try. And the reason is that when that elephant was just a baby, it was tied to a huge stake, Bob, that it could not pull out of the ground as a baby. Weeks of pulling and tugging resulted in just a trench around that old stake till finally that poor elephant gave up. Now that he's fully grown with great strength and physical ability to easily pull that stake out of the ground, he remembers only the futility of his past efforts, and therefore now, today, he doesn't even attempt to escape to freedom. That poor elephant has been conditioned to failure. Do not let the world, the darkness of the world, condition you to failure. Ours is a victory in Jesus. The promise that the Lord can keep, the one who conquered sin and death, is able. Praise God, is able. Christ is risen, and the King of Kings is coming. In closing, it was the hope of the early church to always watch, to look to this hope, to keep looking up to this blessed hope. And it is ours as well. There was a pastor, David Peterson, who was deep in concentration preparing his Sunday sermon when his little girl came up to the place where he was working. And this little girl says, "Daddy, can we play?" "I'm sorry, sweetheart," he lamented. He said, "I'm right in the middle. Daddy's right in the middle of getting his sermon ready. But I'll tell you what, in about an hour, I can play." And boy, she just squealed with delight. She says, "Good, Daddy, good. And Daddy, when you're finished, Daddy, I'm going to give you a great big hug." Well, David just smiled. He said, "Well, thank you, honey." And she starts to leave the room. She makes it to the threshold, Gretchen, when she does an abrupt U-turn, she runs back to him, and she gives her daddy an enormous bone-breaking hug. And he says, "Well, thank you, sweetie. But darling, I thought you said you were going to give daddy that hug when he finished his work." And she looked up with those big eyes into his, and she says, "Daddy, I just wanted you to know what you've got to look forward to." Advent is a reminder of what we have to look forward to. And what we have to look forward to, Linda Holden, one of our favorite hymns, "Victory in Jesus." The Lord is able. The Lord has conquered sin and death. The Lord is risen. And the Lord will return, praise God. Until that time, may we be awake. May we be found working for the kingdom of God. At this time, let us faithfully serve the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, whose birth we celebrate in Christmas and Advent. Let us serve the Lord through the morning offerings. Thank you. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we give our best to you, not out of guilt or fear, but with gratitude and faith. You have been our support in times of need. Every breath we take is a gift from you. We would be awake and watchful for opportunities to make a difference, to help others be alert for your presence, to value life in all its fullness, and to learn to care. We dedicate these symbols of thankfulness and all the days of our lives to those purposes. Amen. Thank you, Denny. Thank you, Dave. And now the close of this first Sunday of Advent, the hymn, There's a Song in the Air, 249. May the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all now and forever. Amen.